There's sometimes I read the Bible and I go, I love that verse. I love that. That's so comforting to me. That doesn't always happen. Sometimes I read a verse and I go, uh-oh. I remember that verse. It kind of hurts. So what I want to say is this. Let that happen. Let the truth confront you as well as comfort you. Let the truth hurt you as well as heal you.
Surfing the web can be very interesting these days, especially if you pay attention to the ads. They overpromise things that won't deliver. Today on The Connection, Skip Heitzig warns you about things that may sound good, but are dangerous to your soul. But before we get into that, Skip wants to invite you to come encounter the roots of your faith as he leads a tour of Israel in 2018.
You know, there's nothing quite like being in the places where Jesus lived and taught, where the prophets proclaimed, and where the apostles followed their Messiah. Believe me, it's so much fun to study the scriptures in the actual places where the Bible events unfolded. In spring of 2018, I'm taking a group to Israel, and it's going to be a trip of a lifetime. This year features an optional pre-extension tour to Rome, a city of vivid and unforgettable images. We'll visit the Colosseum and we'll walk through the Roman Forum. On the main tour, we'll start at the city of Tel Aviv on the Mediterranean Sea next to Joppa. And then we'll work our way inland, visiting places like Nazareth, the Jordan River, and the Sea of Galilee, where our Lord did most of his miracles. Then we'll wrap up our tour in beautiful Jerusalem at sites like the Temple Mount, the Garden of Gethsemane, and the Garden Tomb. And that just scratches the surface. Join Lenya and me in 2018 as we tour the land of the Bible. We would love to have you on this exciting journey. Visit inspirationcruises.com/CABQ for more information.
As a nation, we live on constant guard to preserve our democracy and freedom. But do we pay as much attention to the security of our souls? True security must be based on trusting God and walking daily in His ways.
Though our country is in danger of terrorist attack, we have a greater enemy than that. Yes, our homeland is under attack, but our homes are under attack. Your family is under attack. Your children, churches in this country are under attack. And your souls are also under attack.
In his book, Homeland Security, Skip Heitzig helps you understand the threats the believers face every day to our faith, family, and future. You'll learn what it takes to break away from the crowd and think biblically in order to face your future with true assurance. Homeland Security is our thank you for your gift to help continue broadcasting the truth and power of God's Word on this and other stations. So request yours today when you give at connectiononline.org/offers.
Now let's get into the teaching. If you'll open your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 4, we begin today's study with Skip.
There was a large display of one of the latest Christian best-selling books, and I won't tell you the guy who wrote it or the title because it just saves a lot of hassle. But one guy was talking to a gal in front of this huge display, this latest book, and he said, you got to buy this book. And this really helped frame this whole issue for me. You got to buy this book because, the man said, this guy won't tell you that you need to change, that you need to turn from sin. And what he'll do is he'll just tell you all of the things that are already good about you. I thought, boy, that helps really understand the whole importance of this text. Preach the word. After last week's message, the last several weeks, I've gotten so many positive reports, positive feedback. That was great. Keep it up. Great message. But I did get one note that was interesting. It said, Skip, I like your teaching. I've liked your teaching for a while, but it sounds now like you're preaching. And I found it humorous simply because the text we're reading from says, preach the word. Just an interesting day to get that. And he said, I think that you should be focusing more on the positive teachings of Jesus. I understand that, but When I read it, I smiled and I thought of what Stuart Briscoe used to say to young ministers. He said, here's the qualifications for being a pastor. You need the mind of a scholar, you need the heart of a child, and you need the hide of a rhinoceros. Because I really, frankly, honestly, not arrogantly, but honestly, I don't care what anybody thinks about what I preach, except one, and that's God. Right? Isn't that the way we ought to live? And so I'm thinking of that conversation in the bookstore that this guy will just tell you all the good things that are right about you. You don't have to change. And now let me boil it down to the bottom line. God loves you the way you are, but God loves you too much to leave you the way you are. And anytime we read truth, it's going to confront us with the need in some area to bring change. So the mandate, preach the word, and here's the tone. Now look at verse 3 and 4. If the first one is the call to know the truth, then verse 3 and 4 tell us the consequences of neglecting the truth. For the time will come, and now he's predicting, he's being futuristic. It's a prophetic utterance. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Now, you may have noticed that Paul does this very thing a few different places in the New Testament. That is, he's speaking about the present, but then he'll move into the future and he'll say, because I see what's coming down the line. There's a time coming that you need to be ready for. For instance, in Acts chapter 20, he does this. He gathers around him the Ephesian leadership, the elders of Ephesus, the very church that Timothy was pastoring. And Paul says before them, Acts 20, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing this flock. And also from among your own selves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. In 1 Timothy, the fourth chapter, the first verse. Now the Spirit expressly says, in the latter times, some will depart from the faith and give heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, or demonically inspired teaching. And then 2 Timothy chapter 3. Know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. And there's a whole list in that description, among which says, they'll have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. So here's Paul writing verse 3 and 4, and he sees this happening in the church. They will not endure sound doctrine. Think about enduring sound doctrine, enduring it, putting up with it. I was reading a book the other night by Charles Spurgeon called Lectures to My Students. Now, this is a book that he wrote to young ministers. And there's a chapter on praying publicly. And so he's giving instruction. This is what he says. This will be a shocker. He tells young pastors, when you're praying in front of your congregation publicly before your sermon, you want to make sure that your prayer is no longer than 10 minutes. That's just the prayer. Maybe 15 minutes, and on rare occasions should it ever go up to 20 minutes. That's the prayer before the sermon. Today, 20-minute sermons in many places aren't tolerated, let alone 10-minute prayers. Charles Spurgeon, speaking of the downgrade controversy, said this, everywhere there is apathy. Nobody cares whether that which is preached is true or false. A sermon is a sermon, whatever the subject, only the shorter it is, the better. You know, in many congregations, if you were to announce, hey, we're going to cut the preaching in half and we're going to have more music, you'd be applauded. Or we're going to have words of prophecy and testimony and we're going to take out expositional Bible study, you'd be applauded. So in verse 3 and 4, Paul is foreseeing a time when truth will be eclipsed by novelty and cleverness. So you can see why this aged apostle, and we believe this is his last letter before his death, says to young Timothy, preach the word. Be ready when it's favorable or not. And here's the tone. You got to be tough, but you got to be tender. Because the time is coming, Timothy, when they won't put up with this any longer. Interesting prediction. I was reading one of the statements from an emergent church conference back in 2004 when the leaders got together and made this statement. Preaching, they said, is broken. It's broken. It's out. Too authoritative, too rigid. It's broken. Look at the words in verse 3, sound doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. The word sound is hygienos. We get the word hygiene or hygienic. It means clean, pure, healthy, sound, safe doctrine. And so what we're reading is a description of somebody who turns away from feeding on the truth to snacking on substitutes. They won't endure sound doctrine. They want something different. When Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 4, he said, that you no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in their cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive. Hey, feed on the pure, healthy food. Don't be turned to substitutes. I read about a farmer who in his day and age was complaining about the rising cost of oats. You know, we complain about the gas prices going up. In those days, their gas was the oats for the mules. Well, he was complaining that the price of oats is going up. So he decided that he would take the oats and substitute sawdust. Well, he would put oats in there, but a little bit of sawdust, and then wean the mule with a little more sawdust and less oats and a little more and a little more. So you can figure out what would happen. By the time the mules became satisfied, they were dead. And that's the point here, is that when you snack on substitutes rather than feed on the word, it is spiritually detrimental. So the need to preach the word, because the time is coming when people won't put up with the truth. A.W. Tozer, another guy who wrote years ago, he's now in heaven. I'll tell you what, some of these guys, you read their stuff, you think they're alive now. But he writes this. It is scarcely possible in most places to get anyone to attend a meeting where the only attraction is God. One can only conclude that God's professed children are bored with him. For they must be wooed to meetings with a stick of striped candy in the form of religious movies, games, and refreshments. Now, here's a question. Why would anyone turn from sound, healthy, safe teaching? Verse 3 gives us the answer. Look at the little phrase, own desires. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. In other words, they're going to look for someone to tell them not what God has declared with any authority or clarity. They're going to look for people who tell them what they want to hear. It's according to their own desires. Listen to this passage. It's in Isaiah 30. Here's Isaiah, the spokesperson to the nation of Israel. And Isaiah the prophet said concerning the people of Israel at that time, Isaiah 30, verse 10, they say to the seers, do not see. And to the prophets, do not prophesy unto us right things. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy to us deceits. Give us smooth stuff. You know what? The truth isn't always smooth, right? The truth doesn't always tickle the ears. Sometimes it first boxes my ears, and then it brings comfort. When Peter preached in the book of Acts, it says they were cut to the heart. When Jesus preached in John chapter 6, it says the people were offended and many turned away and followed him no more. Now understand, this turning away from the truth, this not enduring sound doctrine, this turning to fables, this doesn't happen overnight. This is a process. It's not like, well, one week we preach the truth and exalt the Lord and the next week it's over. It takes time. This is 30 years plus from the time Jesus was on the earth to what's going on with Timothy in Ephesus, which really isn't all that long. I'll give you a modern example. When the Pilgrim Fathers landed on this country, they built churches, homes, and schools. And after they built churches and homes, they thought, now we need to educate our kids. And they built a school named after a pastor, a preacher by the name of John Harvard. Guess what the school was called? Harvard University, named after a preacher. The sole purpose of Harvard University, to train up ministers to preach the gospel. Look at Harvard today. See if you can find a preacher of the gospel. I know they have a theological school, but look at their literature. And this is what John Harvard said. We are dreading to leave an illiterate ministry to the churches when our present ministers shall lie in the dust. Now, they developed a crest for Harvard University. And the crest had this saying on it. There were three books. One was facing down. I'll explain what that is. Above it was written in Latin, Veritas Christo et Ecclesiae, truth for Christ and the church. That's the motto of Harvard University, truth for Christ and the church. Three books, one facing down. It was facing down to display the limitation of human knowledge. Have you seen Harvard's crest recently? The book's facing up to show the unlimited capacity of the human mind. And there's only one word that remains of that sentence, veritas. That's it, just truth, veritas. We're in the pursuit of truth, but Christ in the church is long gone. How Harvard started and where it is ending up are miles apart. Let's finish up. Let's look at verses 5 through 8. We have now the command to nurture the truth. Paul says to Timothy, but you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill or completely accomplish your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Very picturesque verse of, he knows he's close to death. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Did you notice how verse 5 begins? It's a contrast. But you, Timothy, in contrast to those who neglect the truth, but you hold to the truth. Stand firm in the truth. Nurture the truth. And Paul uses himself as an example. He's toward the end of his life, he's writing from a Roman prison. And he can say with satisfaction, in the grace of Christ, I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That's our calling. Our calling is to believe the truth. Our calling is to love the truth. And our calling is to speak the truth. You know what? There's sometimes I read the Bible and I go, I love that verse. I love that. That's so comforting to me. That doesn't always happen. Sometimes I read a verse and I go, uh-oh. I remember that verse. That kind of hurts. So what I want to say is this. Let that happen. Let the truth confront you as well as comfort you. Let the truth hurt you as well as heal you. Somebody once said the scripture was written to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. Now, I do love to preach on the love of God. I love it. I love to preach on the grace of God and the mercy of Christ and our riches as believers. I love to preach on that, and I do preach on that. But because we love all of those truths, we must safeguard them and stand up for them and not abandon discernment and roll over and just say, oh, well, think good thoughts, positive thoughts, and it'll all go away. It won't. Remember that little book of Jude, verse 3, contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Doesn't mean be contentious for the faith, but contend for the faith. And this is why he says to do that. It says, for certain men have crept in unnoticed. So I guess the point of all this is so that you will notice them when they creep in. I do want to end by saying I do see light at the end of this tunnel. I do see light. I see gold at the end of this rainbow. With the surge of postmodernism, with the rise of the emergent church, with the wholesale denial of any absolute truth, you know what happens? That leaves people disillusioned and confused and groping for answers. So that is a great opportunity to step into those situations where people are disillusioned and confused and they don't know the truth, and to, with love, humility, and certainty, tell them the truth. Hebrews 1:1, God in the past spoke in different ways to our fathers, but has in these last days spoken to us once and for all by his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'll give you a warning, And I think you already know this. If you love the truth and you stand up for it and you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, in this age of tolerance, you won't be tolerated. You know that. They'll tolerate everything else and anything else except your message. That won't be tolerated. So just be ready for that. That's the warning. But the question is, will I live to please men or will I live to please the Father? Because you're not going to face them in eternity, but him. Years ago, there was a letter written to a British newspaper called the British Weekly. It was kind of a snide letter that was written. Dear Sir, and it was published on the newspaper, I noticed that ministers seem to set a great deal of importance on their sermons and spent a great deal of time in preparing them. I've been attending services quite regularly for the past 30 years, and during that time, if I estimate correctly, I've listened to no less than 3,000 sermons. But to my consternation, I've discovered I cannot remember a single one of them. I wonder if a minister's time might be more profitably spent on something else. And he signed it. That's generally the feeling that most people have. Why do you spend so much time on that? Well, that created a furor of letter activity, pros and cons. Things were written back and forth. Finally, a letter came in that they thought, this is the great rebuttal. Let's publish this in response. And here's that letter. My dear sir, I've been married for 30 years. During that time, I have eaten 32,850 meals, mostly my wife's cooking. Suddenly, I've discovered that I cannot remember the menu of a single meal. And yet, I've received nourishment from every one of them. I have the distinct impression that without them, I would have starved to death long ago. And he signed it. So, along with securing the soul, your soul, along with that kind of security, along with securing your family, along with securing relationships, along with securing your moral life, let's make sure that the church, at least from our vantage point, from our part, is secure. Don't be afraid to raise that flag of discernment. Don't be afraid to compare it with the scripture to find if these things be so. Acts 17:11. That makes for a vital, vibrant, healthy, strong church.
It's critical for the church to be strong and healthy. With our society drifting toward the slippery slope of relativism, people need something solid that will steady their lives. You can be a part of bringing truth to the world. Here's Skip to tell you how.
I want to thank you for your prayers and partnership to help take God's truths worldwide with these Bible teachings. Providing these resources week in and week out incurs some big costs. Would you consider partnering with us as a gift today? Whether you've given before or it's your first time, I'd be so grateful. Here's how you can take action.
Visit connectiononline.org/give to give a one-time or monthly gift today. connectiononline.org/give. Thank you for your generosity. As Americans, we have so many freedoms to be thankful for. If you're in Albuquerque, we invite you to join us for a two-night freedom celebration, June 30th and July 1st at Isotopes Park. Enjoy music from amazing bands and a gospel message from Pastor Skip. You can also watch it live online at calvaryabq.org. calvaryabq.org. Next time on The Connection, Skip shows you how to maintain your biblical compass when the world tries to take you off course.
What is legal isn't necessarily biblical. It's legal to divorce your spouse for irreconcilable differences. It's not biblical to do so. It's legal to have an abortion. It's not biblical to do so. It's legal to get drunk. It's not biblical to do so. So the issue isn't what the court allows, but it should be what God allows and what God wants.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His wood. Make a connection.
Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.